Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade that there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Welcome, Monday only, Second Captain's listeners. You could listen to myself and Murph here. Hey, Murph.
Hey, Owen, how's it going?
Prattle on about the reasons to sign up to the World Service. But why don't we shut up for a moment and hand the floor instead to one of Ireland's greatest actors, Tom Vaughan Lawler. Take it away, Tom.
Well, here's the thing. It's one of the reasons why I love Second Captains. I'm not just saying this because I'm on the show. I listen to Second Captains all the time because it gives me a sense of Ireland, and it gives me a sense of Irish identity, and it gives me a sense of Irish sense of humour, and it softens any kind of homesickness I feel about living in England and missing Ireland. So it gives me a connection to Ireland, and I love it.
Yes.
Thank you and good night. That's all from us.
That was Tom's opening answer, and we left it at that. Thank you, Tom. We've got what we need here. Why don't you be like Tom, become a member today for Fiverr a month plus VAT to hear our conversation with the wonderful Tom Vaughan Lawler that will go out for members tomorrow. You can be sure Tom has listened to our Ireland-Switzerland post-match conversation. This segment begins with an email.
I thought you might be interested in the reaction to the game in the Swiss press.
Uh-oh.
And he forwards a link to Tages-Anzeiger, the Swiss newspaper, which has been reporting on the game. So I, with interest, clicked on the link and, scrolled to the bits about Ireland. Zek Amdouni is fouled. At least he gets a lot out of an actually harmless intervention of his club mate in Burnley, Dara O'Shea. So the Swiss also thought that O'Shea, Dara, was innocent of the foul. I mean, John O'Shea complained quite a lot about this after the game.
You see him complaining to the referees, but in a very smiley, friendly John O'Shea type manner.
Yeah, which isn't ultimately going to make much difference. I suppose maybe it makes a difference later in the game. I'm not sure. I mean, we got away with a foul, didn't we? Was it after the goal or before? Where it was the one moment that Mikey Johnston had in the game where he did anything that looked semi-useful. It was a ball down the right. Smolik was chasing after it, and all the Swiss were like, "Hey, there's a foul," and the ref was like, "Nah, not enough for me, mate." And Smolik passed it across the field to Johnston, who then.
Oh, that was a great pass by Smolik.
It was lovely. He's done a couple of these.
It's been excellent.
Yeah. Johnston couldn't pick anyone out in the middle. It was the one kind of moment when he did what he was on the field to do, I suppose, but it didn't work out. But anyway, let's get back to Tages-Anzeiger. Shaqiri arranges the ball 1 meter outside the 16. 16 meters, of course, in Swiss terms. Starts and hits in the corner, for which goalie Gavin Bazunu would be responsible. So they're pointing the finger at Gavin Bazunu as well. By the way, I should say, there's no point in complaining about that O'Shea thing. It looked like a foul. You know, I watched replays of it like several times. I was like, I'm still not sure whether he actually got him, but it definitely looks like he goes to foul him. So you can't really complain.
Yeah, like, gives the referee a decision to make.
He makes it too easy for the guy to get that free kick, and then it's a really dangerous free kick. Shaqiri's obviously after the game. Murat Yakin, the handsome Murat Yakin, who had restored Shaqiri to the team. This had been causing some controversy because in Switzerland they've got this, oh, we don't have any good players thing. And obviously Shaqiri's on the older side now. He's been on the go for a long time. Put him back in and obviously he scores. He has a Zauberfuss, a magic foot, was the comment of, he's got a magic foot.
He does, and we all know which one it is too. It's hardly the right they're talking about.
Well, Brian Carr was much more eloquent when describing Shaqiri a number of years ago.
What did he call?
Well, people have been pointing out that this was revenge by Shaqiri. I don't think Brian Carr said anything wrong, but here he was on Today FM commentating on Spurs against Stoke City in 2017.
Just about Shaqiri, Ian, would you mind if I said, is there any other player in the Premier League? Hasn't he the funniest shape of any player in the Premier League? He's like a bloke that you might see standing outside the pub on a Sunday morning with his bag and his boot in his boots in it, saying, unaware we're playing today. And a wee fan comes along and picks him up. He's a little chunky fella, about 5'3". He's wired at the hips. That's probably been generous to him, saying he's wired at the hips. And the jersey looks like it's bed into him too. But I mean, he's a good player, but just looks so different from what players look like in the Premier League.
And he's got enormous legs in terms of the strength in his legs.
You can't see the legs because the shorts are down to the socks. The socks are pulled up to the knees, and the shorts, so you can just see the shape underneath underneath the garb, I suppose you might call it. But you can't see his knees. Do you know what his nickname would be in Dublin? Shaqiri.
No, go on.
Bardler.
I remembered that he called him the Barler. I've forgotten about the pronunciation.
I didn't remember that it was 5 minutes of
preamble as well before the Barler.
Barler gets his revenge. It's a compliment. Yeah. Shaqiri, it's a compliment.
The Power Cube.
The Power Cube is an unbelievable.
Did you nickname him that?
That was Kraftwürfel. It's the German. This is what the Bayern fans called him.
Power Cube. It's all of a piece.
I was called a Power Cube for the entire game yesterday as well.
Look, he got his goal. What more can you say?
Did we get to the Switzerland?
We're still on it. We're moving through it at a steady pace. Bazunu on the goal, not good. Bazunu generally not as good as Kelleher.
No.
You know, neither had a huge amount to do in the games. But Kelleher made no mistakes, and I thought was much better on the ball than Mazzini, which was kind of the main thing they were doing in the game, you know, in terms of playing as part of the build-up. And Kelleher's a bit better at that. But then there was the wall. Our wall was a bit of a shambles. This Swiss guy standing beside the wall, he's going to hit it through those guys. Mazzini started really central.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like the ball is right on the edge of the box. Like if he manages to get that under the crossbar and over the wall and under the crossbar, you're not saving it anyway. Like because it's going to be right under the you know what I mean. It's
magic wand. You know, like a magic foot. Like if he's got a magic foot, he's going to probably try and put that magic foot through the ball extremely hard.
Which he did.
Yeah,
because he's like this. Oh right, you mean I can just shoot for the okay. I think I can score from here. And I'm not that far out after all.
Yeah. I do feel, especially since putting the fucking draft excluder in or whatever you call it, right? You've got a wall. The terminology is mad. But you've got a wall, a jumping wall, a wall that can jump up.
You've got Josh Cullen lying there.
You've got, the draft excluder to give the insurance policy to that wall, knowing they can jump. And therefore the height that Shaqiri's going to have to get it over that wall is fairly extreme.
Unless he gets a deflection off a camera that's dangling on the goal, it's not going to drop under the bar. But
worry about the other side, I think.
So I thought that was a mistake, and then obviously there was another mistake when he cleared a ball with his right foot that he needed to hit with his left probably, and it goes straight to Xhaka who nearly scores. That was not great. So I'd say he was probably one of the big losers of the night, just in terms of. You know, he's obviously got strong competition for his place, and the other guys seem more secure. Anyway, sorry, back to Tagazan Tiger. Talking about Yakin chooses a 3-4-2-1 with Abushir and Amdouni in the positions inside. When Shaqiri talks about experimenting, he could also say boredom instead. Wow. I mean, they're not exactly equivalent words. We're going to try boredom. Well, I suppose you could say that. The pace on this Tuesday evening is as manageable as the intensity. This is primarily due to the Irish host. He does not have a player of international class on the field, which is why it is not surprising that he finds himself in the FIFA World Ranking in the desolate 62nd place. Jesus. Of the last 10 games, he has won 2 against Gibraltar. In the most recent European Championship qualification, he was absolutely without a chance. The Swiss are not really challenged. Once Mvogo uses a powerless header from Omobamadeli for a small flight insert, and otherwise, a bad play by Mvogo or a ball lost by Kermit remain without consequences. The Irish fans are already satisfied when their team manages to bring a move slightly towards the goal.
All right, here, hold on a second now. No need to bring us into it. You can slander our football team all you like, but...
Just hold on and wait for these guys to finish. The fact that it is only a trivial test in the east of Dublin is also shown by the rather lukewarm atmosphere. There is nothing to be felt of Irish enthusiasm like in the good old days when the old stands of Lansdowne Road were still shaking under the trampling feet. In addition to Shaqiri's goal, the post shot from Shaka is the only highlight after 40 minutes.
This guy doesn't recall some of the... rather desolate atmospheres around it. You know, a Wednesday afternoon midweek game against Latvia or something. Well, listen, it's all good.
The old Lansdowne Road.
It was always rocking, always shaking.
It was rocking. And so I thought, okay, well, I mean, this is scathing. You know, like they really have...
We don't have one player of international quality on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, San Marino have international footballers. I mean, international quality. What are we actually talking about here?
Okay, I mean...
There's plenty of players with international quality.
International class. You know, I mean, they're talking about, like, Granit Xhaka, Sherdan Shaqiri-type players.
Fabian Scher.
Some of our best players Fabian are not Scher. In their 40s.
To be fair. I thought, well, this is... And then I noticed they'd done a minute-by-minute underneath, so I was having a look down, see if they had anything nicer to say about us.
We should have just got the lad who wrote the Tagus letter.
Of course, the Irish are not a heavyweight in international football, says the Minute by Minute. They finished the European Championship qualification in their group in second last place with 2 victories against Gibraltar.
All right. We got that.
Nevertheless, an away victory in Dublin would be good for the Swiss soul. So the Swiss soul was thriving. Then they're like, Sierra shoots from distance, but the shot is not a problem for Gavin Bazunu. We think the Irish goalie has the most beautiful name of the 22 players on the field. He's probably the prettiest player in the field as well. I mean,
he's
would you say
extremely handsome? I mean, we don't have anyone to hold a candle to him on our side anyway.
Yeah,
do we? No. Jesus, no. and then
a few minutes later, first chance for the Irish after a free kick. Andrew Omobamadeli comes to the header, but Mvogo has no trouble parrying. Omobamadeli, another beautiful name.
Jesus Christ.
There you go. At least they're bewitched by the musicality of some of our players' names. But no, there wasn't a single compliment to Ireland from all. So I'm saying, if you do want to see yourself as others see you, maybe not. Maybe actually this isn't a useful exercise at all.
That was the email we read out in Wednesday's podcast that we got quite a bit of mileage out of. We did actually get a related one subsequently from another World Service member living in the Francophone part of Switzerland.
Oh, they all had a pop-up,
yeah,
did they?
This emailer said that Tajes Anzeiger report had a certain familiarity. While less cutting than the Deutschweizers, the Roman TV coverage was worse. So we're into the French-speaking part.
Yes.
Condescending, almost pitiful. The RTS commentator marvelled at the Aviva crowd as Ireland passed sideways and backwards before kicking it long. They knew their team's historic way of playing and wouldn't boo or whistle for more adventurous play, as any other crowd surely would. There were chuckles from the co-commentator when Ireland got a free kick just inside the Swiss half and, of course, sent 9 men to the edge of the box. Like, this is our best attacking opportunity still in the first 45 minutes.
That was the end of the first half. There was nothing else we...
On multiple occasions, the analysts declined to rate the Swiss team's performance, politely lamenting the lack of intensity brought by their adversary compared to Denmark a few days before, each time with the same laboured inhalation of breath, like they were talking about a feeble old dog brought to be put down by the vet.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, let's just not look at the opponents' media in days after games. It's a very bad idea. We had some Roy Keane chat today as well, obviously talking about the reports that he has met a number of occasions with the FAI. Away from the football, US Murph talked to us about the phenomenon of Caitlin Clark, the college basketball player who was dominating American sport during March Madness.
traditionally, the men's tournament by leaps and bounds exceeds the women's tournament for many reasons: history, tradition, years, NBA versus WNBA, you know, just popularity in general. However, the 2024 season is being seen as a landmark in American sports because there is legitimate discussion: is the women's March Madness bracket more interesting than the men's March Madness bracket? And it's a viable discussion, which has never happened before. We've had great women's teams through the years. The University of Connecticut and Gino Auriemma, their famous coach, are an absolute all-time American sports dynasty. And they definitely dented the radar of the average sports fan. And then, of course, we've had other great players through the years. You can name them all, whether Maya Moore, Diana Taurasi, those are UConn women, but others too. Cheryl Swoops, I go back to her, and Cheryl Miller at USC. Those are old names. There is something different about the name Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark has hit at the right time in our social media landscape, at the right time in our sort of sports-saturated landscape, and she's also the right kind of player to light up people's television screens and phones and social media accounts, because she is Steph Curry. And Steph Curry is the most thrilling player in the NBA. And Caitlin Clark, who is a not very physically dominating or intimidating athlete, she is 6 feet tall, I believe. She is a girl who plays for the who plays for the University of Iowa, which is, you know, smack in the heartland. And there's all sorts of sort of romance that comes with that, right? And the fact that she is a long-range three-point shooter who is so good and so proficient and so dramatic that she has soared past every single Division I basketball player in the history of American college basketball, men or women, and has scored more points than any of them this year. And with it is a phenomenon, whether you want to call her Ponytail Pete, which because people reminds her, she reminds people of the old sharpshooter Pete Maravich, or whether you just want to get caught up in Caitlin mania. She has national endorsements with State Farm and with Gatorade. She is must-see TV. NBA celebrities want to meet her. She draws celebrities to games. And guys, it all comes from sort of her unassuming physical presence and her long-range shooting that just thrills the modern basketball sports fan. Hence, Caitlin Clark on your feed, Owen.
Mm-hmm. To see her play in person, the only thing I can equate it to is when Jordan would come to town. That's Michael Jordan, says Gus Johnson, Fox's lead college basketball commentator. I mean, that's big, right? That is big. That's a big talk right there. But there is certainly a kind of traveling circus element to Caitlin Clark's season this year, in that she has been selling out venues. She has drawn eyeballs onto this tournament and the idea of women's college basketball in a way that is almost Jordan-like. I think is that overstating the case?
Well, I mean, to a degree, it's just overstating the case, because you guys all knew Michael Jordan. By 1998, Michael Jordan was global. Is Caitlin Clark global yet? No. But is there a sort of a shrunken down element of that? Because women's college basketball will never be as big as the NBA. But sort of relatively speaking, I understand the comment. Like relatively speaking, because women's college basketball, and again, I want to make sure, like I have been a fan of the women's game for a long time. You know, I've followed it. And my UCLA women are alive. They're in the round of 16. And in fact, they're in the same bracket as Caitlin Clark in Iowa. And if we win on Friday against LSU, which might not happen, we would face Iowa and Caitlin Clark. And I've been joking with my buddies. We're going to send America's sweetheart home. We're going to send America's sweetheart packing. It's been kind of my joke. But relatively speaking, yes. And we can just look at numbers, guys. She flat out drew the biggest TV audience to a pre-Final Four women's game ever in their game just 2 days ago when they played West Virginia in the round of 32. Round of 32 women's college basketball games traditionally have not been absolute must-watch TV. She drew the biggest eyeballs of all time, 4.9, almost 5 million people watched that, which is a staggering number for a women's round of 32 game. Like I said, there have been stars in the women's game, and the Final Four has generally produced some sort of buzz. Usually America kind of gets a little into the Final Four of the women's game, which they smartly play on opposite days from the men's game, so it has the stage all to themselves. But it's usually, for the casual sports fan who likes to just sort of see the big events, usually they don't pay attention until the Final Four. So for her to draw that audience to a round of 32, and then, as you mentioned, anecdotally, just what happened all winter long, all up and down the Big Ten in the Midwest, when she went to arenas and the tickets she sold and the influence she had over kids and the sellout crowds. I mean, I really can – you can honestly say that as great as some of these past women's players have been, there's been no one – I want to say Beatlemania, or, you know, or the way Steph and the Warriors were. There's an attraction to it. There's something that goes beyond basketball that makes it like must see. Like, are you a big fan of women's college basketball? Here could be a typical question of a person. Are you a big fan of college women's basketball? No. Would you go see Caitlin Clark play? Yes. Like that kind of thing. You know, it's because it's an event. It's almost like a cachet to have seen her.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From Ireland's Second Captain Show.
Second Captain Show.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best thing in the world for you because it's full of protein.
This is not a dig at football people who know the game.
No respect, no honour.
What's the respect of my day?
Dog shit is bad, huh?
But who plays rugby?
I imagine it was like something you would expect to see in a porno movie.
No, they don't.
But they
no.
do.
Sorry, on. They do not.
And the balls.
Shut up, the two of you. I just want to play commentary at a goal.
Fall off and I'll go! Fall
off and I'll go!
English done. Fuck you, can I guess?
Work you, can I guess?
I'm a little bit of an idealist, but having said that, I want to be like Nick.
You get the ball forward, you compete, you chase people, you close people down, you create excitement, you win balls when you shouldn't win balls, you commit yourself to the game.
GA League finals are on this weekend and Michael Murphy is going big.
Very big.
On Derry this year.
They will be going home. There'll be no kind of us guessing with 5-10 minutes to go or 5-10 minutes into this game thinking, Jakers, are Derry really up for that? So I think Derry will 100% go for it. They have the capacity to go for it. They have the player and playing power to go for it. I think we have... they are the second best team in Ireland at the moment, in my opinion. I'm really excited by Derry. Dublin are ominous, but if somebody was to say to me right now, potentially all Ireland, I would be. I know it's a huge statement, but I won't be going towards Derry.
Wow. Okay.
Would you? Yeah. Based on what exactly?
I just think all the pieces, I think their transitional play we know is so good. They've unearthed, and people have spoken about it throughout the league now, they've unearthed a bit more depth, a small bit more depth, not a huge amount, a small bit more. Jeremy Baker, cornerback, Cormac Murphy, a couple of injuries, but he's in there. You know, Gilmore's in there, Lachlan Murray, we're kind of waiting to see what he's going to do. He kicked one for the last day, and I suppose maybe a bit of a dead rubber of a league game, but, you know, can I come in and just give you a point off the bench? You know, that's really what you're asking for here. I just think their trajectory, I keep going back to that Kerry game last year, and as a team, knowing, I think them Derry players in the back of the head, they're thinking to themselves, now we belong in this top echelon. For a couple of years there, they were coming Division 4, Division 3, Division 2. They were performing decently in the Championship, but now they've been at Division 1 and they've performed there, they've excelled there. They're up at the top of the table, they're at the top of the tree, so I think they belong there. So I just think the next natural step for them is towards that All-Ireland series. I think they have the levels of fitness, the team, if we look at the maturity of it, it's in about year 4. So there's a cohesion and understanding about the way they play, and I just think they have it. They have the man markers at the back, they have the midfield, they have the goalkeeper, they have the forwards, the marquee forward and Shane McGuigan, and I do believe they have enough of a support cast there. Like, if we're comparing them, I suppose what we're doing, we're comparing them potentially against Kerry, we're comparing them against Galway, we're comparing them against Mayo, and to me, they tick more boxes than those teams do at the moment. Listen, do the Dublin tick the same boxes as Derry? 100% they do. But I just think there's a mission there for this Derry team. I think back to our time when we kind of came in 10, came in 11, didn't really know do we belong. And then, you know, the natural progression and the belief that you get going into 12 is that, right, the next step is this. And they just think that they're on a bigger mission. And I think they tick a lot of the boxes more than some of the rest.
He's gone for it, Murph.
He has. I mean, it's a bit early for that kind of talk, Michael, but I love it.
Yeah, so do I.
I mean, you know, it is only March. It's still March for another couple of days. Ireland final predictions. I suppose, listen, the Championship is starting Sunday week. You know, the rubber is going to hit the road here eventually.
The Intercounty Championship season the entire Intercounty season is shorter than it probably should be.
Yeah.
So we might as well get all the predictions in now. Otherwise, when are we going to get them in? So yeah, Derry for the All-Ireland. It sounds like you're doubtful, Murph, but you know, we'll see.
I'm a lot less doubtful now than I was even 2 months ago. But I'm still a little doubtful.
Sign up to the World Service on secondcaptains.com for a fiver a month plus VAT. You will hear the episodes without any ads. You will also be supporting member-led broadcasting.
It'll give you a warm, fuzzy feeling in your tummy, just like Tom Vaughan Lawler.
Exactly. And I should mention the Second Captains podcast is part of the Acast.
The Acast Creator Network.
Creator.
Which phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The Second Captains
World Service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.